Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity is more than software. It's about the expertise needed to effectively fight today's evolving threat landscape. Huntress Managed Security is custom-built to provide human expertise and save your clients from cyber threats. Huntress's suite of fully managed cybersecurity solutions is powered by a 24/7 human-led SOC dedicated to around-the-clock monitoring, expert investigation, and rapid response. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Huntress has the number one rated EDR for SMBs on G2 and a partner support satisfaction score average of 99%. To start a trial today, visit huntress.com/Carl.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting. I'm here with my good friend, Miss Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy. Good morning.
Hey, James. Happy Earth Day to you.
What's Earth Day mean to you?
Well, I'm an admitted tree hugger. You know, I think anybody who likes the outdoors should call themselves that.
Yeah.
Right. And I have a boat and I enjoy the water and I enjoy going on, you know, day hikes on trails locally. And so the environment's important to me. And I think it should be important to everyone because, of course, it's the only planet we have. But also, you know, especially if you're an outdoors person, you know, my dad was a big hunter and fisher, enjoyed those sports. And he was also, you know, really active in environmental causes to make sure that his sports continued, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have a pristine environment, hunting and fishing won't be good, right? And if our waters are not in good shape, the boating won't be good. So, so I think we should all be concerned about the environment. So, you know, Earth Day is a thing I think is worth celebrating.
Our planet should be important to everybody. So happy Earth Day. That's very cool.
Thanks.
Very cool. So, hey, we've got a great question of the week that came in. And I think this was designed or asked on purpose because I think some people might know the answer. But and also what side of the argument we would be on. But the question was, what's better, iPhone or Android? So iPhone or Android? I'll let you go first.
Well, this is a question that no, we're not going to be able to answer, but we'll definitely have opinions on. I chose iPhone. I'm an iPhone person, and you know, I think the reason is because I'm also a Microsoft person, and so I really appreciate tightly integrated systems. To me, I get a lot of value out of integration. And the lawsuit that's going on against Android now for antitrust, and I took a look at what they were arguing, you know, was the potential harm that Apple could be causing. And I read their little list and I'm like, oh, those are all the reasons I buy an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like I like that tight control and integration. I really value it, and I'm willing to pay a premium for it.
Yeah. Well, they certainly have that. And on my side, I would just say Android, and I don't have any facts or figures of why that's better, so I can't answer the question this way. I'm just a creature of habit. You know, grew up in the technology industry, but I've always been a Windows guy, you know, Microsoft Windows. And then the closest operating system, you know, for mobile devices was really Android to Windows, or at least for me it was. So I just learned those, kind of mastered those. And when the first iPhone, I think, came into the Kernan family, I was like, huh? or even just the iPads. It just seems opposite to me, going through the settings and setting these devices up were just so foreign to me. You'll get a kick out of this. So I've owned my own computer shop for years, and the whole house was always filled with Windows computers. Well, one year I thought it would be really cool because we just remodeled our kitchen. This is when we lived in San Diego, and my wife had a really cool desk built out in the kitchen, just on the side of the kitchen. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy the latest and greatest iMac, the big, all-in-one device. So I got that for her for Christmas. And then we migrated all the data over from her PC over, and shared the folders, set up a new email and all that. She hated it. I mean, she absolutely hated it. And why I got it for, one, I thought it was cool looking. I thought, for her, it would be easier to use, Amy. And boy, I was so dead set wrong. And then I couldn't, I think one of my sons was young and he was helping me at the time. But I think I had to call in some friend support from some of the Apple gurus out there. But yeah, that was a bad move. She was not happy, did not like that Christmas present, even though it cost me a fortune.
That is one thing about Apple and devices. They are expensive, but Samsung is really caught up on the expense side of thing with their devices, and their devices are beautiful for Android. But yeah, I don't think you can say anymore that Android devices are less expensive than iPhone. That sort of isn't happening today.
I think they're both awesome. I'm just an Android fan just because that's what I know. And I've always used it. So
Yeah, once you get into an ecosystem, I think you figure it out, and then they're both good operating systems. So
great question out there. We want to hear from you guys. So any fun questions like that, if you want to hear Amy and I banter back and forth, you chime away, send over any of your questions to james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, send them in. Send them in. So in the news, there's a couple interesting things as well. We've got one of the things that kind of popped up on the radar screen, it was kind of a discussion about top password managers. So everybody uses, password management tool and support in support of your clients, or you use them internally. Amy, what was your company's favorite tool and why?
I use one called RoboForm, and it's actually been around. It predates password tools. It became a password tool. It started off life, as its name suggests, as a form filling tool. And became a password manager, and I really, really enjoy it. And at the time when we selected it, there weren't as many choices as there are today. But we went through and got trials going of a whole bunch of different ones, and used them internally and see what we liked and what we didn't like, and that's how we settled on it. And if I was going to do it again, that's what I would do. I would go through, because part of it is how secure it is. And I think there's a couple on the market that have been hacked enough times that I would stay away from those. And then but the usability is another big factor, right? How easy is it to use? How easy is it to recover their passwords? Now, that's kind of a double-edged sword, because you want it to be easy, but you also want it to be secure. You don't want just anybody to be able to get into your account to recover it. That master password is super important. So yeah, what are you using, James?
I love Keeper. So
Okay. Hear good
Keeper's
things about it.
it's I use the enterprise version and use that as a tool, to share passwords with clients and team members and so forth. And it works really well. It seemed it's interesting, it's Keeper. I've heard great things about it. That's why I went that direction. But what was the one that kept getting hacked? Was it LastPass?
Yeah, I think it's 3 times now. But I've heard some people are very diehard users of that product, and they'll say, well, just everybody else isn't reporting it. I'm not sure that that's actually the case.
Something else that I saw on the radar screen, you've got 2 weeks left to submit your application for anybody interested in getting on the MSP 501 list. So the Channel Futures MSP 501, I've got the application link and more information. I'll drop that in the show notes up on the website so you guys will have that. I know you've been involved. I remember seeing you listed there before, and I think you and I maybe even rubbed elbows at some of those events because I'm a big fan of it. But do you have any comments about the MSP 501?
Yeah, you know, at my MSP, I did it twice. You know, I don't think it's something you need to do every year. Honestly, I think it was about 10 years apart, maybe. But each time we broke the top 100, and I think it's a great marketing tool just to be somewhere on the list, right? Because there's probably if you're in a large metropolitan area, there's 500 MSPs in your local area, right? So, to be one of the top ones is just a great marketing tool. You know, remind your customers that they made the right decision when they chose you. And then also, you know, we would stick it in our signature for the rest of the year, right? We just leave it in our email signatures for about a year so that anybody that any of my staff conversed with saw it. So a great thing to put out there for potential new clients as well, you know, just on your accomplishment list, right? Not everybody's going to have that, and they're looking to figure out, to them, all the MSPs look the same, so they're looking for that little thing to differentiate one or the other, and they'll be like, oh, but this one's got this, you know, they're pretty ranked pretty high on this MSP 501 thing. It'll and you know They may not know exactly what it is, but it's still a differentiator, and I think you should give it a go. I think people should do it.
It's you had to have to fill out a cumbersome application and submit financials, and it's not something you can do in 3 minutes. But I think it's well worth it, to Amy's point. Agree 1,000%. Great marketing for your company. It's a super way of standing out and being unique and differentiating yourself from your competitors and your local geography. And then even just a press release. You can do a press release, share that with your customers, prospects, put it up on your website. I love the idea of putting the link as well in your email signature line.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything except that you do have to share your data. And they are going to use it. They're not going to use like your specific data, but you know, you've seen those stats out there that Channel Futures produces of, you know, MSPs have grown this much and, you know, hardware sales or blah, blah, blah. You know, that's where they get some of those numbers from. They have more sources, but it is a data source for them. And I don't have a problem sharing that information, but and they do make you aware of that when you're submitting that to them. So they're upfront about it.
I think it's well worth it. Well worth it. And there was a final point I wanted to talk about. There was an article that caught my eye regarding, the headline was something to the effect of high tech has a grab on social media. And then the article was really about Meta and about them being accused of censoring content. And in
Isn't it
that
funny how the headlines are always different from what the article content is these days? It's
It was
gotten
very different. It was
ridiculous.
it was ridiculous because I the high tech one was what caught my eye. The whole article was just about, Meta.
One
So,
company, yeah. You know, I think we should all be of two minds when it comes to this, right? On the one hand, we're asking our social media companies are really telling them from a legal point of view that they're responsible for the content that is published on their platforms. On the other hand, we're also telling them that, hey, people have rights and should be able to post what they want to. And walking that line has got to be really hard. And it becomes a political football, and it's just a It's just kind of a big mess. Maybe we'll figure that out eventually, but maybe it'll just always be a political football because it's a really good one that people like to get worked up about. But they can come down on the side of we have to make these people responsible, and then or come down on the other side of, it's the wild, wild west and there is no responsibility. It's a great, great political football to do. Now, I'll admit I heavily censor my Facebook account, right? I only want to see the things I want to see, and I want Facebook to be my happy place. And so Meta does make all those tools available for you to curate your own feed so that you see the stuff that you want to see and you don't see the stuff that you don't want to see. And it's actually one of the things that I really value about the Facebook experience, that I have more control over the content that I view there than I do in any other social media platform. So I don't have to see the stuff that makes me unhappy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Life's too short, and we've talked about this before, but I like how you describe Facebook is my happy place. I just want to go there and feel better, and get connected to friends and industry contacts and learn, but feel good about it. Nobody's up there really to argue, or at least I'm not.
Oh, yeah. My cousin was telling me she was leaving Facebook because she was tired of seeing decapitated babies and burning animals. And I'm like, who are you friends with? Get rid of those people. You don't have to see that. The tools are in your hands, right? So, I showed her a few things and convinced her to stay on. Like, she didn't know how to do the curation on there, so she didn't have to be appalled by the universe, right?
Yeah. And what's interesting is more and more people are using Facebook, for example, as a primary news source, going into, other publications or other sites or reading the conventional paper, watching the news. They're getting through Facebook, that's their primary news source. But I'm guilty of it as well. I adjust what I see in my feeds, and I do that all day long. So, and I'm sure many of you do also. So I think it's kind of an interesting point. There's a lot of negativity out there around censoring, but when you really think of why they're doing it, there's two trains of thought. But if you're the company that developed the platform and you spend millions and millions of dollars with all the people and the technology to put it out there, and then there's all sorts of regulation on top of it, it's like you said, it's a political football, and it's you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I like it as a happy place. So I'm going to just stick with that answer.
It's good. It works for me. I love seeing everybody's photos and what's going on, and it should be enjoyable. I mean, that was kind of the whole purpose of social media in the first place.
Connect with family and friends and feel good about it. No drama for me. So cool. Anything else going on with you over the rest of the quarter? You got any travels planned?
No, nothing new. We talked a little bit about it last week. I'm going to come down and speak at your event. And so everybody should get signed up for that. And that's going to be happening at the TD Cinex offices, which is cool because I have never seen them before. So
yeah, that is in Clearwater Beach, Florida. So right there in Tampa. So we're all going to fly in, and then their offices, that 2-day event is at the TD Cinex office. So it's going to be June 27th, June 28th. And I hope and pray that the weather will cooperate. It's right at that border where it could be hot, but at least we're going to be on the beach. We're staying at the Hyatt. It's where we've got the block of rooms all set up. So at least the hotel will be nice and cool. May 9th and 10th, we've got SMB Tech Fest in Irvine, California. So I'll be out there talking about EOS. So looking forward to seeing you Southern California cool cats out there in Southern California. May 9th and 10th in Irvine, California. I'll drop the registration link in the show notes as well. hope to
Yeah,
see.
you know, I'm doing an Ask Me Anything event with Super Ops this week. So, no, there's a lot of stuff going on. Although I will say that April, May, I try to tamp it down pretty hard because that is boat launch season. And I've bought a new boat, so I'm going from sail to power, which is a big deal. And I temporarily have two boats. So I got twice the amount of work to do to get my
Very
two
cool.
boats going. But anybody who wants to buy a 1976 Pearson 365 catch, contact me. It's awesome. It has not been eaten up by salt water, and it's in fabulous condition up here in the Great Lakes. So call me, get a good deal on a great boat.
Very nice. Very nice. So you've got two boats. I've just got one boat, and ironically, it's boat launch week for me this week. So I've actually got it in my driveway right now because we're cleaning it up and we'll launch it this weekend. All right. Well, I think that is a wrap. We're gonna go ahead and wrap up. So thanks for your wisdom and sharing, Amy. Good to see you as always. Have a good rest of the week.
All right, you too, James.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity isn't just about software, it's about expertise. In today's ever-evolving threat landscape, you need more than lines of code. You need human intelligence to outwit cyber criminals. Huntress is tailor-made to provide human expertise. Our team of seasoned professionals has your back, ensuring your assets stay safe. With 24/7 vigilance, our human-led SOC never sleeps. We monitor, investigate, and respond around the clock. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Start your trial now at huntress.com/carl.